Right, good morning. Shall we make a start? It's just gone 9:30, and a warm welcome to a not very warm venue, but as I said, there are some blankets here at the front. If you missed that, please do come and grab one if that would make you feel a bit cosier. My name is Ali, and we're going to be talking this morning about prayer ministry. Out of interest, how many of you have been to a Soul Survivor event before? And so the concept of prayer ministry is familiar to lots of you. Let me just give you a little bit of background, because obviously we haven't started yet this year. We haven't done any prayer ministry yet. But let me just talk to you a little bit about what's going on behind the scenes. Because at Soul Survivor, as is the case for lots of us, we really want to be a people who are led by the Holy Spirit, where we genuinely invite him to be shaping who we are as people and what we do when we gather and how we plan behind the scenes. And we want that because we trust the Holy Spirit. We trust who he is. We trust that he's kind. We trust that he's good. And we trust that when he's involved, he brings life in a way that literally nothing else can. He brings life and healing and freedom. And so we genuinely want, in the context of when we gather like this, we really want him to be actively involved in our meetings. And so throughout our meetings, for those of us that are leading, we're asking him right from the beginning and even before the meeting, what is it you want to do today? How do you want to be involved in these people's lives today? What is it that you want to say? And we're listening out to him, and we're going to make sure that in every single meeting, we proactively make space for him to be at work. And often that looks like at the end of the talk, but not always. There might be times where we'll do that before the talk as well. We don't know, in that sense, we don't have a plan, but we will make sure, the plan is that we will make sure that every single meeting, we clear the decks and make room for him to be at work. And when he shows up, all kinds of things can happen, and all kinds of things do happen. And we've already done two events this summer, let alone the 26 years of summers. And we have seen consistently that when the Holy Spirit turns up, I'm going to explain that in a little bit in a moment, that he brings freedom, he releases people from shame, he shows us more of who God is and how we're loved, he changes us, he sets us free, he equips us, he anoints us, like he sets us apart to do the stuff that God has called us to do. He speaks to us, he encourages us. And so why wouldn't we want that? Why wouldn't we want more of that when we gather? And so one of the things that we pray when we gather is you'll hear a little line sometimes that comes from the front, which is, "Come Holy Spirit." Now, some people might think, well, that's a bit weird because I've already understood that when I became a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of me, and that is true. You might also understand that when we gather like this, the Lord promises that he will be present, and that is true. When we say, "Come Holy Spirit," it's like a shorthand prayer, a really quick way of praying something much longer, which the much longer version is, "Holy Spirit, we know that you're already here. We know that you're already at work. But in this moment, we want to just say again that we value you. We love what you do when you show up. So would you come in greater measure? Would you come in a way that is tangible, where you come and you do the work that only you can do?" And now you know why we pray, "Come Holy Spirit," because it is much quicker than that. And that is what we're going to do every single time we get together. I want to just say really quickly a bit of Bible background, because I find this helpful and I hope you will too. That the story of the Bible is that we belong to a God who just loves us. I mean, Mike talked about that last night, that when he created human beings, he didn't create them and then admire them from a distance or observe them from a distance, but he made them and then he was close with them. And so it talks about the fact in Genesis that God would walk with Adam and Eve in the garden and hang out with them. And then as we know that sin came into the world and there was this division, this separation, that happened in the moment because God is incompatible with sin. I knew the wasps would come, talking of sin, that there was this distance that then came in. But the story, as we go through the Old Testament, is God really being at work to put things at place so that distance can be removed. So it's like, here's how, even though you're not holy and I'm holy, here's what some things that we can do in order for you to be able to worship me, in order for you to be able to be in relationship with me. And we see that throughout the Old Testament. And then in the beginning of the New Testament, bam, Jesus arrives. And what we've got is now God, again, this is what Mike was talking about last night, God becoming, putting on human flesh. And one of the names for God when Jesus came was Emmanuel, God with us. And so we see this consistent heart of God is to come close to his people. And then Jesus lives on earth. He ministers. He shows us what God is like. He showed us what the kingdom is looking like. And he dies. He rises again from the dead. And just before he goes up to heaven, he says, I'm going to leave you. Don't be sad about the fact I'm leaving you, because actually another one is coming. And it's going to be a good thing. This is me paraphrasing. And what happens is Jesus goes up to heaven and he sends the Holy Spirit as he promised he would. And now what we understand is no longer just, as if that wasn't incredible enough, God with us, but the Holy Spirit is God in us. If you've said yes to Jesus, if you've said, I want you to be my Lord and my Savior, you have the Holy Spirit. God himself makes his home within you. Mind-blowing. Still, that is mind-blowing to me. And so we have God who comes that close. And what we see is, if we fast forward to the end of the book and the end of time, we're not there yet. It talks about a time is coming where the perfection of that relationship that Adam and Eve enjoyed at the beginning in the Garden of Eden is going to be restored and then some. And it talks about a day is coming where we will fully know God, even as he fully knows us now, perfect intimacy. And so the consistent story of the whole Bible is God who is not at a distance, but God who comes close. God who loves his people so much, he wants to actually share in our lives. And this is the God that we worship. This is the God that we put our hope and trust in. And so when we ask him, would you come and meet with us? Would you draw close? Would you be at work? We can have this certain hope that we're not praying to a God who's like needing persuading. You know, it's like, yeah, I was actually going to be at work somewhere else today. Not so sure that I'm bothered about these 5,000 people gathered in Stafford. Instead, what we know is that God's like, yes, my children, I would love to be involved. I'd love to be at work. And we hold all of that as a really, I think, an important foundation, because then for us as individuals, there'll be time this week where we'll be wondering, does God want to meet with me? Does God want to do something in my life? It seems like he wants to do something in everyone else's life, maybe not mine. Well, then come back to this. The consistent picture that we see of God in the Bible is one who removes separation and draws close again and again and again. And that is the same God who is near you right now and who's going to be at work this week. And when we invite him to come, as I said, all kinds of things happen. And let me just quickly give you an example from my own life, because it's going to kind of come into play in a moment when we start getting really practical. In my church back home in Watford years ago, we had the sermon was given, and at the end of the sermon, some people had this thing called words of knowledge, which is where we ask the Holy Spirit to speak about a condition or something that someone's going through, and then those words are given. And a word was given around someone having a bad back. Well, at the time, I did have a bad back. I don't generally suffer from bad backs, and not since, but I've been through a few weeks of having a really painful back, and so I thought I'd go forward and get prayer. I'll explain again in a moment about going forward, but I went forward, someone came to pray for me, and they said, what can I pray for you? And I said, oh, that word about the bad back, that's me. So she put her hand on my back and she began to pray. And when it comes to praying for prayers, anyway, so she started praying for me, and it's like with prayer for healing, there's not loads that you can say. It's like, in the name of Jesus, Jesus is the ultimate authority and his name carries that authority. In the name of Jesus, would you heal Ali's back? Now, unless you're a doctor or a back specialist, after that, there's not a lot you can pray. You know, I don't know if you've ever tried that when you're praying for for healing. It's like, and would you come and align the muscles? And it's like, no, I really don't know that much about backs. Anyway, that was basically what happened to this girl, Miriam. She prayed what she could, and then she stopped and she waited. We're going to talk about waiting. I'm telling you lots of things that we're going to come on to, and you can tick them off as we go. But she waited, and then after a little while, she said, Ali, this has nothing to do with your back. But I just wonder, there's this little line that's going through my head. I wonder if God is saying, Ali, it's time to dream the old dreams again. And what she couldn't have known is she was the third person in the space of a couple of months to say that exact line to me. Ali, it's time to dream the old dreams again. And for the sake of time, I won't go into all of what that was about, except to say it was hugely significant for me. And so I listened, third time. I was like, okay, God, clearly you're speaking to me. So after the end of that meeting, and by the way, I don't really remember what happened to my back. All I know is that then I didn't have a bad back anymore. So at some point in that, also, even though that didn't seem like the big headlines on the day, God also touched my back. But I just began to speak to him about the dreams that I knew he was referring to, dreams that I had buried deep a long time before that. And the Lord began to awaken those dreams in me again. And stuff happened as a result of that. And I want to say that this is the joy of what it means, because what's going to happen is in these coming meetings, and quite possibly this is similar to what you might do at home, but we're going to invite people to respond to something that God might be doing, and then we're going to ask others of you to come and join in. And you get to be Miriam in that example. Miriam, who, yes, came to pray for my bad back, but more than that, she was open to the fact that God might have something that he wanted to do, and she opened up her ears and she listened to him. And trust me, you don't know Miriam, so you don't know that she doesn't walk around her whole life going, I am a prophet of the Lord and I will speak, you know, on his behalf. She just made herself available to him, and absolutely every single one of us can do that. It's our birthright as God's children to hear his voice. It says in John 10, I think it is, that my sheep, Jesus said, you know, my sheep, they know my voice. And often what happens is we think we don't know his voice, but it's just because we've got to learn to listen and just to give him some space. And if, like Miriam, we could just open our ears and just even be open to the possibility that he might want to speak. And then when something random pops into your mind, you pass it along, then we're in a really good place. So I know I've thrown lots of things out there. I'm going to start to sort of drill into it a little bit now. And I want to talk about to us as sort of like three different groups this morning. And there's the group of us that, and I'm sure at different times this week and then on, we'll fall into any one of these three camps, and all three are good, okay? So I want to talk about what it feels like if we're the person receiving prayer ministry. What might that look like if we respond to one of these calls and say, oh yeah, that's me, and we put ourselves out there. So we're going to call that group the receiver. And then there are those people that when we say from the front, right, anyone else come and pray, there's us that is going, oh, I don't know if I can, but I'm going to give it a go. We're going to be called the prayers. And then there's the other group, which is everyone else, and we'll call you everyone else. So as I said, what happens is as we're trying to follow the lead of the Spirit, sometimes we sense there's something he might want to do. Sometimes it's really obvious. It comes out of the talk. A talk is given, and so there'll be a response. Sometimes it's a bit more random than that. But if we feel like God is saying something, we'll go with it. And what happens is we invite people to the front, not because the front is holy in any way, but just because there is space at the front, which means we can see who would like prayer, and we can begin to do that and invite others to do it. Having said there is nothing holy about the front, I think there is something that is quite significant. Often, if we're the ones responding, if a word is given, those that maybe feel called to evangelism, to telling other people about Jesus, there is something significant in that moment about kind of getting up from your patch of carpet and literally taking a step forward, that it's your, even with your body, you're saying, God, that's me. I'm nervous, or I'm not that sure, but I think it's me. And there's something I think that's really helpful about that moment. But what can happen is then we come to the front, and lots of us have never done anything like that before. And so it can feel really vulnerable. We've got as far as saying, yes, that's me, I'm in. But then what? Loads of people, lots of you have been Soulsfire before. Loads of people in that main meeting this morning will have never been involved in anything like this before. And they'll be saying, yes, that's me. But then go, but I don't don't know now what happens. Do I just stand here? Do I, you know, do I look around? Is God going to suddenly show up? They don't know. And so I think what one of the things to say to you, and if you're going to be praying for someone else, is to recognize they might feel vulnerable and they might just want a little bit of encouragement. So one of the things is to say you might want to close your eyes. You don't have to. And just be ready to receive. Be ready to receive whatever God wants to do. Often we can think, if we've come forward, right, what is it that they're going to pray? What is it that they're going to say that is going to change everything? But this is about time for God, God who is all powerful and all loving, to meet with us. And so in many ways, we need to come just with literally open hands, open hearts, and be ready to let him do whatever he wants to do. A friend of mine, hers was a neck. So a friend of mine had a car accident years and years ago, and it left her with very severe whiplash. And for years after that, she was in a lot of pain, often with very restricted movements, couldn't carry anything heavy, would go through sort of periods of weeks where she couldn't turn her head either way. And having always been one of those people that, you know, would never have a day off sick, would then often regularly have to take time off work just to lay in bed because she couldn't move. And so any time that there was a prayer for healing, offer of prayer for healing, she would come forward to receive healing. And what she said is that every time she came forward, for years this was, God didn't heal her neck. That actually came later. God used a chiropractor that some friends in church discovered, and her neck was healed medically that way. But in the meantime, what she said is that every time she got prayer, God met with her, and all the things that might have happened to her heart as someone that was in pain and missing out on quite a lot of what was going on in life, she said God kept her from becoming bitter. God kept her from hopelessness. God kept her from despair. And one of the things that I see in the Bible is that God's priorities are not always our priorities. And that's not to say that he doesn't care about bad necks, but it seems to me that there's the problem, and then there's the problem beneath the problem, or there's the cry beneath the cry. And it says in Proverbs, 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. It's one of the verses that I come back to again and again. And it seems like, I can see that wasp. Go on. Thank you. What? It's behind me. Okay, I'm just going to talk like this for a while. It seems like so often what God is really wanting to get to is the heart behind the heart, behind the issue. And so you might come forward to respond to one thing. Just be open that your God, that your Father knows best. And there might be things that he wants to do in you that go way beyond what you could even think to ask him. So when you come forward, often people stand like this. And it's not like a magic pose, but it's like with our bodies reflecting, I'm open. I'm open to you doing whatever you want to do. I'm ready to receive, you know. I'm someone that I love gifts. When it's my birthday, I'm still like, I'm a bit old now, but I really get excited about birthdays. And when people give me a present, I'm not like, oh, no, you shouldn't have. I'm like, hand him over, you know. And like, that's what it's like with God. It's like, hand it over, God. I trust that what you want to bring into my life is good. So my hands are open and I'm ready to receive. And the other thing to say is that when we come forward in prayer, as well as being ready to receive, as well as being open to whatever it is that God wants to do, even more than whatever we've got in our hearts, it's also just being ready to wait. Often we think that God should do things quickly. I mean, that's how we view God generally, isn't it? God, this is what needs to happen, so would you like to deal with it now? You know, my friend doesn't know you, so reveal yourself to him now. God, my friend needs healing. Would you get it done now? God, I've got this problem in my life. Would you please make it better now? That's how we work. And I was listening to a podcast a few weeks ago with a presenter and a sort of comedian, Russell Brand. Loads of you will have heard of him. And he was interviewing a journalist who had gone along to a Christian meeting. So both people not Christians. And they're talking about the fact this journalist, a guy called John, had gone along to this Christian meeting. And they'd invited the Holy Spirit to come. And this journalist, this guy called John, was talking about, in that moment, he had a decision to make. Was he going to like stay, a journalist removed from the situation and just observe? Or was he going to give it a go and actually see if God would turn up? And so what he said he did is he closed his eyes, he gave it a couple of seconds, and he was like, clearly nothing's going to happen. So he opened his eyes and he left the meeting. And in this conversation that he had with Russell Brand, Russell Brand was sort of going, yeah, totally. He was saying, you know, this is God, the Almighty, you know, the all-powerful one. If he really was God, he would show up like that. And that's often how we think too. If you're really God, then I'm at the front, do your stuff, God. And yet God, in his infinite wisdom and kindness, so often takes his time. He takes his time. And you'll hear a little phrase this week where we'll say, the more we wait, the more he does. You can, it's a bit like bingo. You can listen out for that one. And the more we wait, the more he does. And we have found that to be true. That just as we give space to him, and as we wait on him without rushing, often a sense of his presence increases. And in many ways, I don't understand that, except to say that sometimes it's like he's waiting for us just to still ourselves. And we've come here this week, even in this little space here, we represent so many different situations and struggles and things that are going on in our lives and things that we've been thinking about and busyness. And we come into this space, and often there's a process of just breathing out in his presence and allowing him to be God and to do whatever he wants to do. And we had a heck of a lot of rain last week. Oh my gosh, so much rain at Naturally Supernatural. Praise the Lord that it's not going to be like that this week. But often though, aside from this last week, what can happen in the summer is the ground gets really hard. And when the rain eventually does come, it's almost like you can see the rain bouncing off that dry ground. It is almost like impervious, you know, it will not go in. Except after the first shower, the ground is softened a bit. And then when the more rain comes, this time it goes into the ground and it softens the ground. And the ground is receptive and responsive. And excuse me. And in this country, what I think is amazing, you know, England's green and pleasant land, is that after a bit of rain, suddenly everything looks vibrant and alive again because the water has gone in and soaked in. And we often come to places like this and we are a little bit dry and crusty. You know, life has taken its toll, and even just like the busyness of getting here or whatever. And it's like, in God's presence, which actually the Bible describes as like being like spring rain, we're in his presence, but it seems like initially it's like it's just bouncing off. It's not doing anything. But if we could just hang on in there and soak in his presence, he begins to soften the ground of our heart again. And then all bets are off. Anything can happen. And I remember I used to travel with Mike before I was married and had kids. I used to travel around the world with him, and we used to go to loads of different countries where Soul Survivor was happening, and most of those countries spoke English, but we used to go to Holland where they speak Dutch, and I don't know very much Dutch, but I still wanted to be involved in ministry. And so I asked one of my friends there, I said, so that I can pray for people even though I don't know what language they're speaking, could you just teach me a couple of phrases? And so I got them to teach me the Dutch for more Lord and just receive. I'm not going to do it because I'm rubbish at it, but more Lord and just receive. And in many ways, there was a really, that's kind of all you need to know, you know. And when you, if you've come forward for prayer, remember, just receive. This is not your time where you need to pray. Often you're really exhausted of praying the same prayers, and this is not your time where you need to be doing anything. Just receive. Don't pray for yourself. Don't, you know, but God, I really want you to do this. Just receive and allow him to meet with you and give it time. Even if you do not sense him doing anything, saying anything, meeting with you, even if around you, you could hear people crying and shaking. Sometimes people do show in their body a sign of something that God might be doing in them. And it might sound to you like everyone else is meeting with the Lord. But try not to focus on that. We all respond in different ways to what the Holy Spirit is doing. Just hang on in there. Give him some time. Give him some space. It's no surprise in Acts 1, when Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit, he tells his disciples to wait for the promised Holy Spirit. He says, you'll receive power, but you're to wait. And I think that little word is just as much an encouragement and a command for us as it was for them, that he is worth waiting for. So wait for him. Don't get hung up on what is happening or not happening, but just wait for him. And trust him. He's good and he loves you. And what he brings into your life will only ever be good. You know, when he meets with you, you can trust him to meet you with kindness. And so, yeah. That's what it is like. If you're going forward to receive prayer, it might feel scary. You might not know what's going to happen. But all that is going to happen is the Almighty God, the Sovereign One, the most powerful in the whole universe. All that's going to happen is he's going to come and meet with you. No big deal. Right, she says sarcastically. So what about for those that are praying? And I really hope that all of you will get involved in this side of things. And, you know, this is the pressure is off you, because this is about God wanting to meet with his people, as we've seen that he consistently loves to do. All you're going to do is hang out with him while he does it. You're just going to, in some way, be by his side as he meets with those people. And you'll be thinking, but I don't know if I can pray for someone else, because I haven't got my stuff together and I'm not the holiest person in my youth group. And I did not even read my Bible this morning. I listened to my Bible this morning. There's one of my top tips for you. If you haven't already tried that, listening to your Bible is another good way to make sure that you've got some time in God's word, even when there's lots of things going on. Anyway, that was just a freebie. But the truth is that none of us have got it together. None of us really know what we're doing when we're praying for other people. I don't have healing, you know, in my rucksack. I don't have anointing in my handbag. I don't have these things ready to go. None of us do, but we belong to a God who's got everything that anyone could ever need. And we're just turning to him and saying, would you come and do it? Jesus tells this story, this parable in Luke 11, and he talks about, let me read it to you. It's Luke 11, 5. Jesus said, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Now, this is Jesus actually talking about persistence in prayer. But he's tucked in there, because he's clever like that, another important truth. So even as he's talking to his disciples about keeping going in prayer, he's thrown this idea out to us, which is this. When it comes to life, we only have empty cupboards. Whatever anyone else needs, we've only got empty cupboards. So when we go to pray for somebody, we don't have what they need. But we belong to a God whose cupboards are full. Not just one loaf of bread, but 3 loaves of bread. And he says, I'll give you whatever you need. And so when we see someone in front of us, and maybe they, like me, you know, have got a bad back, or maybe they are just so discouraged, or maybe they are feeling so lonely, we don't have what it takes to change that situation in their lives. What's really important is that we hold on to the fact that we know someone who does. He has everything that they need. And so we're just going to come to pray, really acknowledging, okay, so one of the things, we have an enemy, the Bible calls him the devil or Satan, the deceiving one. What he loves to do, so the Bible also talks about him as being the father of lies. In other words, when it comes to lying, he's the absolute best there is. And as being a really, really excellent liar, he doesn't make it obvious. Otherwise, he wouldn't be an excellent liar. Right? What he does is he does it really subtly. And so he tells us things that we kind of believe because they kind of sound true. So we're thinking, oh gosh, there's all these people, hundreds of people wanting prayer. Ali was saying about going and praying, but I'm not sure that I know what I'm doing. And that kind of sounds like a normal, yeah, I'm not sure I know what I'm doing. Yeah, maybe I won't do that. That's just the enemy trying to put you off. So the best thing you can do is go, you're right this time, Satan. Well, it's not very often we acknowledge that. You're right, I don't have what they need, but I don't need to have what they need. It doesn't matter that I don't know what I'm doing. It's just about God. So you're going to go and stand with them, no matter that you might be feeling inadequate. And you're going to go and stand in front of them, and you're going to put a hand on their shoulder maybe. You're going to keep your eyes open. They'll probably have their eyes shut. You're going to keep your eyes open because you're going to just try and watch and begin to recognize what the Lord might be doing. It's not always obvious to start with. But often as you pray and as you wait on him, you might see that they look peaceful, or you might see that they look really unsure, and then you remember, oh yeah, it's quite a vulnerable thing to come forward. So you can say to them, don't worry, Jesus wants to meet with you, just wait on him, give him some time. And you'll understand that as you open your eyes, you can see what they're doing. And once you've got there and you've laid a hand on them and you've opened your eyes and you've said, come Holy Spirit, come and do whatever you want to do, then you're going to wait. Just as much as we've encouraged the receivers to wait, you as the prayer, you're going to wait. And it's not a waiting like set your watch and come back in 5 minutes. It's a proactive waiting. Holy Spirit, what do you want to do? How do you want to meet with them? Is there anything that you'd like to say? And then in that moment, you're going to choose to, you've already got your eyes open, but now you're going to also open your ears. And you're just going to say, please speak to me. Is there anything that you would like to say? And sometimes, I mean, I think there's a talk somewhere on prophecy, but that's a whole other talk, so I won't go there, except to say that just we learn as we go. It might be that a little line pops into your head that wasn't there a minute before. Then just assume that that is God and pray into it. You know, it's like, Ali, it's time to dream the old dreams again. It never feels like, Ali, it's time to dream the old. It's like, oh, that was weird. I didn't have that thought in my head a minute ago. Trust that it is him, and then either say it gently or pray it gently, and then go back to waiting. And just give it that time. So don't be passive. Ask the Holy Spirit what you would like to say. And then begin to pray. Wait a little bit more. But be constantly, when I say constantly, I'm not like, but I mean, just be relaxed with the Lord. But just like, Lord, would you speak? And then you pray in line with whatever you think he's saying. And then, Lord, what is it you want to do? And then all the time, like I said, when I was in Holland, just my little Dutch prayer, more Lord, is a really good prayer. Just what would you just increase your presence? Come and rest on them. And it's this strange thing of just praying a simple prayer, going back to waiting. Maybe praying over anything that you feel like God might be saying, and then go back to asking him for more. And literally, that is it. And you won't know. Sometimes you won't get anything spectacular or even anything gentle. Sometimes you won't recognize what God is doing. It's okay. We just trust that this is the God that we've acknowledged who always wants to come close to his people. And it's not about the work that we put in. It's about creating space for God to be at work. I don't know if you've ever had that thing where you've done autocorrect on your phone, you know, and something is autocorrected to something that you wish that you hadn't said. And so I remember once when Mike wasn't very well, I went to text him to write, so sorry, you're poorly. And my phone changed it to, so sissy, you're porky. And I liked it so much I kept it. And I was writing in my phone the other day, prayer ministry, you know, what we're talking about here. And my phone changed it from prayer ministry to prayer industry. And I just thought, actually, that's so often how we view it. You know, industry is all about how hard you work. You get the results based on the work that you put in. And often we think that prayer ministry, praying for people, is the more we say, the more we preach over them, the more verses we quote at them, the more words we come up with, the more God will do. And actually, it seems to be the opposite. And if anything, what we would say, what we would encourage you is, please don't preach over them. Please don't read 3 chapters of the Bible over them. You know, they will have just heard a talk. Instead, less is more. It's not prayer industry. It's God meeting with his people. So let's just make space. I just want to encourage you too that God is often doing stuff that you cannot even know about. Do you know, it was years, probably 9 years after that girl in my church, Miriam, said that line over me, Alex, time to dream the old dream again. She lives in Australia now. And I actually got in touch with her maybe a year, 18 months ago. And I actually just emailed her and said, can I just tell you, this number of years ago you prayed for me, this is what you said, this is the significance of it, and every time I speak about prayer ministry, I tell the story. Well, she had no idea, she couldn't even remember praying for me, because God is doing more behind our backs than he's doing in front of our face. This is who God is. And my brother-in-law actually was praying for healing in his church years ago now. And so loads of people came forward for prayer. He went up to this guy and he said, "Hi, my name's Paul. Can I pray for you?" And this guy said, "Yeah, my name's Jack. I've got a really bad knee. I'm waiting on a knee operation. I used to be really into football and I haven't been able to play football in ages. I think it was 3 years. I'm waiting on an operation. It's coming up soon, but I just love God to heal me." And so my brother-in-law, he put his hand on this guy's knee and he just said, "In the name of Jesus, would you heal this knee?" Again, like I said, praying for healing. It's like, that's all I've got. I don't really know how kneecaps work. So really, that's all I can pray. And he said he just started to feel really uncomfortable, like he didn't know what else to pray. And so this guy, Jack, his eyes were closed. And Paul just said that in that moment, feeling really awkward and uncomfortable, he just sort of like, you know, like crept off and began praying for someone else. And he went home that night and he just said to God, I feel bad. I feel guilty. I'm sorry. I feel like I let you down. I feel like I let Jack down. You know, I should have stayed longer. I should have X, Y, Z. And I'm really sorry. And he went to sleep. Well, a few weeks later at that church, they were having a time of just telling stories of things that God had been up to. And this guy, Jack, stood up and he said, "I was here a few weeks ago. I got prayer for healing for my bad knee. And I haven't been able to play football in years. And I've been waiting on this operation. And that night, God healed my knee. The operation is cancelled. I've been back playing football. And on Monday night, I scored a goal." And my brother-in-law was absolutely gobsmacked. There was no sense of the presence of God. He didn't know, oh my gosh, I think God is doing something here. Because God is doing more behind our backs than he's doing in front of our faces. And so we just trust. We trust the God of the Bible. We trust his consistent character. That whatever it is, whatever the results, God loves to draw near. Our part is just to play our part. You know, it's just to get involved. And we get involved. Really, God could do anything without us. But throughout history, he said, "But I want to do it with my people." I mean, that's another sign of how much he loves us. "I want to get these Israelites out of Egypt. Hey, Moses, should we do it together?" God is God. He didn't need Moses. Jesus turns up on earth. This is Jesus, actual God on earth. And then he gets 12 disciples and he says, "Hey, should we do this together?" He didn't need the 12. In fact, half the time they felt like more of a hindrance than a help. But he loves us, so he wants to do stuff with us. And so we're just going to pray, we're going to wait, we're going to offer anything that God might be saying, we're going to trust him to be at work, and when we're done, we're done. You can even ask the person, "How are you doing? How are you feeling? Is there anything else you want me to pray?" You don't need to worry about ruining the atmosphere or interrupting it like it's a holy date night. You're not going to ruin anything, you know. You just ask them, check in with them. And sometimes, particularly something like this where we're here together for days, it's trusting as well that not everything happens in one session. Sometimes people need a break. They need to go and have some hot chocolate and, you know, go play some football or something. There's always the next meeting. I remember when I first came to Soul Survivor, way back in the beginning, a friend very wisely saying, "Whatever the call for ministry is, just go up and get prayer." And I did. It didn't matter what the call for prayer was. I went and got ministry because I just knew I needed Jesus. And so for some of you here this week, you're going to get prayer loads of times. Good. Get it as much as you want. The Lord wants to be at work with you. Right. And then just really quickly, finally, so we talked about coming forward to receive. We talked about coming forward to pray. What about everybody else? Because obviously, you'll see this as the week goes on. The majority of people won't do either. And what I want to say is that's totally fine. Sometimes what we can make the mistake of is thinking all the good stuff happens at the front and then everyone else just meant to sit and twiddle their thumbs and wait for the service to be over or sneak out the back. Back at the first Soul Survivor, back in 93, when most of you weren't even a twinkle in anyone's eye, I came along Soul Survivor, and as I say, I got prayer nearly every single meeting. But the meetings, they would go on, and my friend Amy and I, what we used to do is when we'd finished either praying or being prayed for, we used to sneak out and go to the chip van and buy our portion of chips and then come back into the very back of the meeting where there used to be these bleachers, and we'd sit on the back of the bleachers and we would eat our chips and enjoy the presence of God. And I just want to encourage you this week. Gosh, that makes me teary. You can this week do your equivalent of buying your chips and enjoying the presence of God. You know, where there's something so attractive about the presence of God. And you will probably at times this week just notice that and enjoy it. Don't be quick to rush off. And the Bible tells us that we are a family. So even though I've not met most of you before, we are family. We are brothers and sisters. We are a body. That's another way that the Bible describes us. And what that means is if one part of the family gets blessed, we all get blessed. And if one part of the body is healed, we all get to enjoy that. And so if you don't come forward to receive prayer, and if you don't come forward to pray, please don't feel guilty, but also please don't just tune out and give up. Just enjoy what God is doing in other parts of our family. And there's a blessing in that. There is a blessing in just in enjoying what he's up to. Don't tune out, just enjoy what he is doing. And also be open to the fact that he might want you to go and pray for someone else. But honestly, if he doesn't, eat your chips and enjoy the presence of God. The very final thing I want to say is, if you want to be involved in prayer ministry, and I really hope you do, the best thing you can do is do it rather than just think about it. I work for my church, so I'm there, you know, week in, week out, and often have responsibilities. But I made a little decision, I can't remember, years ago now, where I said, if I'm not doing something else in the service, I'll either go and get prayer or I will pray. I just made that decision. And what that meant was that it takes the decision out of the moment, you know, because you'll find this later on that you'll be like, shall I go and get prayer? Maybe I won't. Oh, I think they've got enough people now. Oh, but maybe I could join in. No, they probably don't need me. That can go on for quite a long time. Make the decision this morning, this week, I'll either go and get prayer or I will pray. You could make that decision. It will save you a lot of time. And then you just begin to do it. You know, I own every single one, I think, of Jamie Oliver's cookbooks. I love it. Anything he does, I love. But the truth is, sitting on my shelf, they don't do me any good. Where they do me good is I get them out, I buy the ingredients, and I go for it. And sometimes it goes brilliantly well. Sometimes I'm a bit like, mummy's been experimenting again. But either way, I enjoy it because I love to cook. And I just want to say to you, we can talk about prayer ministry, but really, you've just got to get cooking. Get going. And it won't always feel like the most holy experience of your life. But just maybe you'll be involved in a moment that you'll probably never know about. But in 10 years' time, maybe you'll get a random email saying, that little line, dream the old dreams again, that changed everything for me. Because God is good and he wants to speak and he wants to be at work in the lives of his people. So why don't we stand? I'm going to pray over us. This session does finish at 10:15, doesn't it? So it's like, yeah. Oh, that was a very emphatic, yes, fine, I get it. All right, so in that case then, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to pray for you and I'm going to tell you that I'm going to be watching and I'm going to be expecting to see your little faces in the next coming meeting.